presented by Google.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Adrienne Hurst, and welcome to your Playbook Daily Briefing. One of the most quietly powerful people in Washington right now just changed the game for Biden's next big spending bill. I'm talking about the Senate parliamentarian, Elizabeth McDonough, a.k.a. the Senate referee. Last night, Chuck Schumer said the ref's officially blown her whistle. Her ruling? Dems can revise the budget reconciliation they used to pass COVID relief to include new reconciliation instructions. Think of it as a buy one, get one free to pass sweeping legislation by a simple majority. This could have huge implications for Biden's first year agenda. Six quick takeaways here. Number one, Democrats now have the option to pass at least one additional reconciliation bill this year. And as you know by now, these bills can't be filibustered, but they do have to follow a strict set of rules, most notably the Byrd rule, which makes sure that non-budgetary policies can't be included here. Number two, if the annual budget resolution can be revised once, it can be revised again. As Politico's Caitlin Emma points out, the party in power could theoretically use the tool as often as they want. So the pressure on Biden to attract Republican votes just went down a notch. Number three, the expansion of reconciliation will have Dems getting creative to push all sorts of stuff through the process, and Republicans too, the next time they have control of both Congress and the White House. There's already talk of doing a standalone Dreamers bill using reconciliation. Number four, this will increase the power of the Senate parliamentarian. As you'll recall, she was under fire from the left for nixing the minimum wage hike from the American Rescue Plan. Number five, this could alleviate some of the pressure on Dems for filibuster reform. The more Schumer can push through the Senate with just 50 votes, plus VP Kamala Harris, the less pressure he'll be under to nuke the legislative filibuster. That's why some anti-filibuster activists have been lukewarm about Schumer's now successful ploy to expand how much can be accomplished with reconciliation. Finally, number six. Seriously, why didn't Mitch McConnell ever think of this? Looking ahead to another wrinkle in Biden's spending plan, Joe Manchin. The West Virginia Democrat wants his party's leaders and Biden to make big changes in their infrastructure bill. And he's got other Democratic senators with him. He's getting ready for his second act after he played hardball on the $1.9 trillion COVID legislation just a month ago and demanded several last-minute changes. Yesterday, Manchin told a West Virginia radio station that Biden's plan to pay for infrastructure by raising the corporate tax rate is a non-starter and that, quote, this whole thing here has to change.
There's six or seven other Democrats that feel very strongly about this. We have to be competitive and we're not going to throw caution to the wind. So we have to have our Republican friends work with us, too.
A few hours later at the Capitol, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia said he needs to have more input on the White House's plan than he's received so far. He said, I expect to have that input before there's any package I could support. Moving on to another story driving the day in D.C. Sorry to Matt Gaetz, but he isn't Liz Cheney's biggest problem.
Sorry to this man.
As I mentioned yesterday, the memes imagining Cheney's inner victory dance were all over Twitter when news broke of the Fed's investigation into Gaetz, whether he broke federal sex trafficking laws and had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old. But one fewer thorn in Cheney's side in Washington after she voted to impeach Trump doesn't necessarily change her political fortunes in Wyoming. One Trump ally tells Playbook, does she catch a little bit of wind? Yes. Matt Gaetz isn't kicking her in the head every day. But I hope she's not celebrating a victory. The person added, she's going to still run out of runway because of the people in Wyoming, not because of Matt Gaetz. Now, even if Gaetz doesn't take a second trip to Wyoming, A-list Trump surrogates like Donald Trump Jr. and Senator Rand Paul are still planning to head there to support a challenger ahead of the 2022 primary. So, yeah, Cheney's biggest problem was never Gaetz. It's Trump. That said, Trump himself at least temporarily has lost one of his highest profile defenders in Gaetz, who carried the mantle for the Trump wing of the Republican Party on Fox News and Twitter. Gaetz declared in the Washington Examiner yesterday that he won't resign. He's adopted the Trump strategy of portraying himself as a victim of the D.C. swamp. That includes, in his telling, the FBI, the Biden Justice Department, the Cheney political dynasty, even the Justice Department under Trump. Also today, Republicans are fuming over what they see as corporate America's progressive posturing on cultural issues. And they want to make those corporations pay, literally. Talk about cancel culture. In recent days, GOP leaders have encouraged boycotts against a group of companies that have condemned or pulled business from states that have passed more restrictive voting laws, And they're not stopping there. Republicans are also encouraging state and federal officials to use the tax code as a means of hitting back at what they deem to be woke capitalism. Yesterday, Mitch McConnell issued a long statement saying there will be serious consequences if corporate America continues acting like a, quote, woke parallel government. That was on the heels of Major League Baseball's decision to pull its All-Star game out of Atlanta over Georgia's new voting law. MLB is expected to announce today that it's moving the game to Denver. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson has vetoed a ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youth. He threw out the bill yesterday, describing it as a vast governmental overreach that he worried would set a new standard for government interference with medical care. Hutchinson's already signed two other bills in recent days that would ban transgender girls from playing on sports teams consistent with their gender identity, and another allowing doctors to refuse patients based on moral or religious grounds. But the bill Hutchinson vetoed yesterday, it would have marked a major escalation in the GOP's efforts to put anti-transgender measures into place across the country this year. Medical experts and LGBTQ advocates strongly opposed it. The Republican-controlled Arkansas legislature, however, can still override the veto with simple majority votes in both chambers, a step that Hutchinson said he expects lawmakers will take. Here's what's on tap for Biden's Tuesday. He'll get the president's daily brief at 10:30 this morning. Biden will visit a vaccination site at Virginia Theological Seminary at 1:45 p.m. Back at the White House, he'll deliver remarks about the vaccination effort at 3:45. VP Kamala Harris will head from L.A. to Chicago, where she'll tour a vaccination site for union members at 1:10 p.m. Central Time. She'll then head back to Washington at 4 p.m. Eastern. Press Secretary Jen Psaki will brief at noon. Subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. And if you want to track the first 100 days of the Biden administration, subscribe to our transition newsletter. That's at politico.com/transitionPB. I'm Adrienne Hurst. Thanks, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.